We're doing a quick overview of Tanakh, and our story begins with creation, 5,773 years ago. 10 generations after creation, we have the flood with Noah. 10 generations later, we have Avram. In the year 1948, Abraham is born. When he is 52, in the year 2000, Abraham discovers God, and monotheism comes to the world, and we enter a new period. The first two millennium are described as the two millennium of Tohu, of desolation, and the next two millennium, from Abraham onward, we have a whole new period in world history called the two millennium of Torah. So Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yaakov's 12 tribes, they descend to Egypt. They come out of Egypt, and the year is 2448. They come out of Egypt, they go into the desert, 40 years, 2488. They come into the land of Israel, and our first leader is Joshua, Yoshua bin Nun. Yoshua bin Nun leads us into Israel. We spend 17 years conquering and 17 years dividing the land of Israel. I'm sorry, 7 and 7, not 17 and 17. 7 years conquering and 7 years dividing. And then Joshua passes away. We go into the period of the judges. In the period of the judges, we have judges from almost every tribe. Every time we misbehave, God sends the enemies to overtake us. And then the judge comes and rebukes us. We repent and we gain our sovereignty again. Finally, we reach the period of Shmuel. The people tell Shmuel, who is the last of the judges, they tell him, we've had it. We can't have this situation where there isn't a continuous leadership. We want to be like the nations. We want a king. And so Shmuel anoints their first king, Saul, from the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe only numbers 600 people because there was civil war, and the tribe of Benjamin against everyone else lost. And they weren't the most beloved tribe at this time. And yet God says, that's who I want for my first king. So everyone was in shock, but that's what the prophet says. Shmuel anoints the first king, Saul. And Saul is given the responsibility to annihilate the Amalek. And Saul does not live up to that responsibility. And the war against Amalek, Saul has second thoughts. He says to himself, God loves humanity. If God told us to slaughter a calf over a person that was murdered, and we don't know who the murderer was, so how much more so over all these poor innocent women and children and the king? And so Saul has mercy over the king. He says, you know, I'm a king, he's a king. Maybe we should have some pity on him. Let's hold off before we kill him. And then Shmuel comes and asks him, what's going on? And Saul says, I did what God said. I did what God said. As Shmuel asks him, what's the sheep I'm hearing here? What's going on? Saul says, well, the nation, they pressured me and they wanted to save the best of the sheep to offer God. And I did what God said. We're getting ready. We'll slaughter them in honor of God. And Shmuel says, Shah, listen to what God has to say. God says, you think you're so little, you listen to the nation? If you feel you're little, but God says you're big. God says you're king. God says you're responsible for these people. I sent you on a mission. Why didn't you do it? Why'd you go against what God says? Saul says, I did what God says. And the fact that Saul is arguing and refusing to accept the word of God, that to a certain degree is the downfall of Saul. And now Shmuel ultimately tears his coat and tells him, the next person that's going to tear your coat, he's the one that's going to take the kingdom from you. You should know that it's over. God's decided he's taking the kingdom from you, because initially it was declared in heaven, you would be king and all your descendants would be king. But now you've scorned the word of God. You should realize, Chatat Kesem Meri, rebelling against God is just like going to serve an idol. What's the difference? God says what he wants and you refuse to listen. So if you refuse to listen, you might as well have set up an idol and doubt it. It's so harsh that you as king did not listen to God's commandment. And at this point, Saul begs Shmuel to come with him and offer the sacrifice, and Shmuel doesn't want to. And finally he pleads and he comes back. Shmuel kills Agog, the king of the Amalekim. And this is really the end of their relationship. Shmuel is going to weep and pray over Saul, but he won't ever see Saul again. God says he's had it with Saul, and Shmuel, as much as he's going to pray for Saul, they're never going to meet again. And God tells Shmuel, till when are you going to be mourning over Saul? I'm disgusted with him. I don't want him as king over Israel. Go fill your horn and go to Yishai, Jesse, who lives in Beis Lechem. I've seen among his sons a child who's fit to be my king. And Shmuel says, God, how do you want me to go? You know, if Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. And from here we learn that important rule that even though when you're doing a mitzvah, there's a certain element of protection, but that doesn't mean you could go endangering yourself. You're going to do a mitzvah, so nothing's going to happen. Let's just go in the lion's den. I'm doing a mitzvah, that's fine. No, you see, God personally told Shmuel, go anoint David. And what does Shmuel say? God, what exactly do you have in mind? Because if the king hears that I went and anointed someone else's king, so he's going to have my head. So yes, God, what am I supposed to do? And God says, take a calf and go and say you came to offer a sacrifice. And then when you have this public sacrifice, all the important people will come. When Yishai comes, you'll call him over and I'll tell you what to do then. So Shmuel does just that. He comes to Beit Lechem. And when he comes, all the elders go out to greet him. They ask him, is everything okay? And he says, sure, I came to offer a sacrifice here. Get everyone together. And they offer the sacrifice. And then he calls over Yishai and the kids. And when he has this private meeting with Yishai and the kids, so the eldest, tall, fine warrior Eliav steps forward. Yishai presents him, and Shmuel says, wow, God, this one's, the anointed one is standing opposite God. And God says, don't look at his height, don't look at his good looks, because I hate him. Why? Because we will see later on, when David comes to the camp, so his big brother Eliav goes yelling at him and says to him, you scoundrel, where'd you leave the sheep? You must have let them just go wild. You're curious to see what war looks like. That's why you came out here. What's he yelling at David for? So Chazal saw in Eliav haughtiness, arrogance, anger. So God says, I hate him. I can't stand you see the eyes and I see the heart. So here we see two concepts. Number one, that man looks to the eyes. You want to see who a person is. That is our window to the heart. What? Even Shmuel. Why did God do this to Shmuel? That Shmuel is standing there and he doesn't know what he's doing. Because when Shaul first came to Shmuel's city, so he asked Shmuel, I'm looking for the Roe, I'm looking for the seer. Where's the Roe? And Shmuel answered, I'm the Roe, I'm the seer. So in heaven, great people are held to exacting justice. And Hashem said, really? That's the way you talk? You shouldn't have said that. I'll show you. You think you see? I'll show you. The time will come when the next king will be in front of you and you won't see. You won't know who he is. So, yes?
You said God hated somebody?
The term me'astiu, I'm disgusted with him. I'm revolted by him. That's the term.
His comporta, his character, his comporta.
I thought we said, like, you know, God, you know, he loves everybody and he gives, you know, he's...
No, we don't say God loves everyone. Over here, the accurate translation is God says, I'm revolted by him.
I'm revolted by him.
Yeah.
Well, so there's been times in our lives, maybe, where God has actually revolted with us.
Probably. Could be. Could be. You know, they asked Ravarya Levin, are you one of the 36 hidden tzaddikim? So he's quoted as having answered, sometimes, but you might also be sometimes. Yes?
A little bit, seems like if he had said no, it'd be like false modesty. The guy, he's looking for the Roe, which means the prophet. He is a prophet. He is the specific prophet that he's looking for. Just being honest, like, trying to lie or diminish himself or pray, yes, I'm the prophet, then bow down to me, or about, like, any kind of, this is what it is. Like,
Right, but maybe he...
Him, no, I'm not the prophet. God is over there somewhere. Like, I don't know why
the degree in
hell. Maybe he should have said, Hineini. Hineini is a term of modesty, like, I'm at your service. Meaning, instead of saying, I am the seer, maybe he should have said, I'm at your service. You're right, that on our level, it...
someone to be around, like, constantly or something, that shows you how to... A very fine nuance to Sicilianity, but not this way. And sometimes it's appropriate to do this thing, and not that, like, it's very like a razor's edge to, between what's appropriate and what's not. And what's
right, but in order to become a prophet, he had to be a master of Torah and to have phenomenal traits. God doesn't talk to someone on a steady basis unless they're on that high level. So it's not like that's what God's saying every one of us has to live up to. We have to live up to what we can do. But on his level, that was considered a minuscule sin. It's not like he was punished. He didn't get beaten over the head for it. But God did put him in this situation. They bring son after son, and after passing the seven sons before Shmuel says, nope, these aren't the ones I was looking for. So Shmuel asks Yishai, are we done with the kids? Yishai says, oh, there's the little one, he's out with the sheep. Chazal say he wasn't out with the sheep by coincidence. That was the treatment King David grew up with. When they'd have family conversations, they'd say, go deal with the sheep. He was the little one, and he didn't count. That's why David says about himself, Evan Masua Bonim, the rock that was scorned by the builders. Even his own family didn't see any reason to bring him. When the prophet is meeting the family, let David stay out with the sheep. Because they all looked down at him. When they'd have Talmudic discussions, they'd ask David, what are you getting involved? What do you know? You're the little one. He was left out. And there were questions about his lineage. There were questions about how his mother got pregnant. So, Bichlal, the family was looking down at David. So he's out with the sheep.
Did David come from the different mothers than the other brothers?
No, but that's a long story. Remind me next Thursday night. So they summon David, and as he's approaching, Shmuel looks and sees he's red. His skin is red. And when Shmuel looks at him, he thinks, I'm seeing Esav. I'm seeing a murderer. And he can't believe what he's seeing. And this is where we'll pick up Ezrat Hashem next time.